Here's Andy Udman.
Most feedlots shovel the manure that falls to the ground. But that's not the case with the salmon farms. They never shovel their manure. The reason they like those net pens, one of the reasons is because all the waste just goes to the seafloor, and it's a lot of waste. 5 to 7 tons go in per day, and what goes in, most of that comes back out again, along with mucus being shed as the fish are breathing and pathogens being shed.
Hands up if you like fish. I wasn't raised with fish. I don't particularly like fish, but lately I've been acquiring a taste for salmon. And I was making such good progress until the last 24 hours when I've started to learn about something fishy going on with the production of our fish. It's not pleasant, folks, but we need to talk about it. We're about to meet a marine biologist we have in studio this morning, as we do every Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. Pam Colleen, good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Andy.
You like fish?
I love fish. I love salmon in particular. And even better, I love wild salmon.
And even if you weren't raised with fish or aren't particularly a fish eater, anywhere you look, the nutritionists are all saying how good fish is for you.
That's right.
And how you should include it in your diet.
Mm-hmm.
And here you come along, Pam Colleen, to rain on our parade. What's going on with the salmon that we buy at Loblaws, at Costco, at Safeway?
Well, what's been happening is essentially the fish farms that are in the Pacific Coast, we're going to be specifically talking about the West today, but that these fish farms are actually contaminating the waters and infecting wild fish with certain viruses. And so what's happened with the wild fish is their numbers have been decreasing dramatically since the inception of these fish farms.
In fact, it's such a huge concern that the government has said, wait a minute, we got to look into this.
Yeah, they say that, but are they doing anything about it? That's the question, and that's why I'm thrilled this morning that we have Alex Morton on the show, and she's been actively working on this issue now for many, many years, and is calling this virus the apocalypse of viruses.
Now, there's a phrase, the apocalypse of viruses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love wild rhetoric. Alex Morton, how are you this morning?
I'm good.
You'll have to understand that we are here in the middle of Canada, not out on the BC coast, so it's probably a little education which is in order here. But Alex, to get us started, why should we be concerned? That's the big question this morning here in London, Ontario. It's not so much an issue about the fishing industry out in BC, but what about the salmon that we buy at Costco, at Loblaws, and Safeway? First of all, is it as wholesome as we think it is, Alex?
Well, no, I don't think it is, unless it's wild. I've been testing, well, the salmon farming industry in British Columbia doesn't allow people to go to their farms and get a fish to test it for disease. So what my associates and I have been doing is buying them from Loblaws and Costco's and Safeway and testing them for a suite of Norwegian viruses. Initially, my concern was just for the wild fish. The Norwegian salmon farming industry is plagued by a number of viruses that are appearing everywhere that they're operating, Chile, Scotland, Ireland, Norway. And so I went looking for these viruses and found them, and found more than I was looking for. In addition to the salmon flu virus, there's also a heart virus that attacks the muscles of the heart, causes heart failure in the fish. And this one, Piscine Rio virus, is considered a very durable virus. And this led to the understanding that wherever these fillets are sold or steaks, this virus is traveling potentially with those fish. And so when people wash them in their sinks prior to cooking, there's a good possibility it's going down the drain into various watersheds. It can affect trout, and then there's a concern whether people really want to be eating this virus or not. In general, people are not so big on it, and we feel that people should be allowed to make that decision to know whether they're eating a fish infected with a virus.
Pam, translate what Alex just said about what's wrong with the salmon that we're eating from Costco and Loblaws and Safeway.
Well, they're sick. You know, they're what's happening with the farm salmon. I mean, if you just stand downstream from or downwind from a farm, a fish farm. You can smell the death and disease. But what's happening is that the infections that are happening within the fish farms are essentially spreading to the wild. And so the other element to this story is that it's diminishing the stock of wild fish out there. And there's a tremendous amount of impact on society because of this. And I think, Alex, why don't you step in and talk a little bit more about that impact?
Yes, well, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that there was an inquiry done because the Fraser sockeye, which is one of the biggest wild salmon runs in the world, began a decline in the early 1990s that just kept running to the bottom. And so the inquiry released 500,000 documents, which I sat down and read as many as I physically could. And what I discovered is that in the early 90s, when the salmon farms first went onto the migration route of the Fraser sockeye, they were plagued with a virus that the federal government named salmon leukemia. And the number of Fraser sockeye dying right in the river where people could see them got so large that by 2006, DFO, the fisheries, decided they should do something about this and look into it. And they tasked one of their own scientists, Dr. Christy Miller, to look at these fish. And her research pointed her straight at salmon leukemia, which is a retrovirus which destroys the immune system of the fish, and so they were dying of many different things. In 2008, the fish farm industry removed the farms that had this virus, and the first generation of Fraser sockeye that went to sea after that came back in 2010 in much bigger numbers. But now, in the work that was done by DFO and others, there was indication that this Norwegian virus, infectious salmon anemia, a salmon flu, was in 100% of the most endangered Fraser sockeye. They're called the Cultus Lake sockeye. And DFO had hid this from both the Stolo First Nations and from the inquiry itself. It was an independent scientist from Prince Edward Island who actually knew about the work because his wife was involved, and he presented it to the inquiry, and that's the only reason we found out about it. So this is what triggered me to start doing testing on wild salmon and also on the farm salmon.
I wonder if you can, because this topic is entirely new for a lot of our listeners, if you can just go back to the test that you had run. Where did you get the salmon to test them on, and what are you saying is wrong with the salmon that we may be eating from some of these grocery chains?
Well, I got a lot of the salmon from the wild, from the rivers, fish that had died just before spawning. We found the virus in three species of those salmon, the Chinook, the Coho, and the sockeye. And then we went to supermarkets. Because the fish farms wouldn't let us go to their farms and test, we thought, well, we'll just go shopping. And there they are, sitting on ice, fresh, perfect samples. And we began to test them. And we're sending them to the best labs we can find. One is in Prince Edward Island. It's a reference lab for this virus, internationally recognized. The other lab is in Norway at the University of Bergen. And they began to find these viruses. Now, the federal government, the provincial government, and the fish farm industry had all testified under oath at the Cohen inquiry that these viruses are not in British Columbia, not in the wild fish, not in the farm fish. So it was pretty shocking for me to buy 11 fish from Loblaws in downtown Vancouver and have five of them test positive for this virus.
Five out of 11.
Yeah. And then we go back another day and a group of fish won't have it. Go back again, a group of fish will have it. So this suggests to me that certain farms on this coast have the virus. It's kind of like operating blind because I don't know which farm has it. So until one of these companies stands up and says, okay, it's us, I see them all as potentially infected with it. I really have no choice. The way these farms are sited, they're put right on the major migration routes of wild salmon in British Columbia. There's some very narrow channels off of Campbell River where all of the Fraser sockeye, for the most part, and the Chinook and the Coho are funneling through. And one of the scientists from the federal government that testified said that during a viral outbreak, the farm shed 650 billion viral particles per hour per farm. And he showed a model of how it just fills the channels. Well, the way fish breathe is they take water in and they pass it over their gills. So whatever's coming out of these feedlots is going into direct contact with the bloodstream of the wild fish. And so now red flags are popping up all over the place. The Minister of Fisheries said we had destroyed the reputation of Canada with these tests. The provincial Minister of Agriculture said that we were reckless and that the U.S. and China were considering closing their border to fish farm trade. The CFIA, which is the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, said, look, if ISA is really in British Columbia, it could shut down trade in B.C. farm salmon. So I see that what we're up against in trying to protect wild salmon and to alert people to the fact that there's viruses in their fish, we're running up against the World Trade Organization and trade laws.
Alex, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to get back to these viruses, which you say are on the salmon that we're eating. Why haven't we heard about them, and what is their impact on us? We'll be back with author Alex Morton and Pam Colleen in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Andy Udman along with Pam Colleen in a conversation with author Alex Morton, very concerned about the salmon industry. The salmon that we're eating, which we buy from Costco and Loblaws and Safeway. In fact, Alex, you have a petition that you're working on. Can you give us the wording of your petition?
Yeah, so the petition is at change.org, and it's asking Costco and the other supermarkets to inform us when they use fish from, when there's an epidemic in these farms. Quite often they sell the fish. The fish that die go to a composting facility, but the fish that are still alive, when they start trying to empty the farms, they are often sold. And we feel that we don't want to eat salmon flu or heart viruses. And so we're asking Costco, Safeway, and Loblaws to please inform us, you know, label the product, maybe, you know, offer it as a reduced price, but let people know, because One of the issues with this, and I'm a biologist that works on fish, but as I give my lectures around the province, nurses and doctors have come up to me and they have said, you know, an influenza virus is not a great thing for people to be eating. I mean, looking at what happened with the avian and the swine flu. And so because the government is suppressing this in British Columbia, as far as they're concerned, the virus isn't here. We have lab tests in wild and farm fish that it is here. So we're asking the supermarkets to step up here and inform the consumers so they can at least make a choice, because the government seems immobilized by the threat of these viruses to international trade.
Okay, so what would the supermarkets advise you of? I mean, they're not going to put salmon on the shelf and go, this salmon is sick, or this salmon has a virus, or what are you asking for?
Well, what the letter says is, we're trying to protect our children from industrial viruses in our food that are being kept secret. And I'm writing to tell you that farm salmon and supermarkets are testing positive for a variety of dangerous viruses. So we don't want to eat them. We want them to take them off the shelves immediately, protect the public health, or at the very least label them as second rate, as fish that have come out of a culling operation. I think that people should know that.
So they would label them as second rate fish.
If that's what they want to do. Personally, I don't think they should be selling them. At the moment, we're told that these viruses cannot reproduce in human body temperatures. But we know that flu viruses mutate. And one of the dangerous things about feedlots is that they give viruses so much more opportunity to mutate. In the wild, a sick fish is immediately removed by a predator. So you don't get these epidemics, and the viruses don't get this opportunity. But in feedlots, they mutate. Now, most feedlots are closed. They're quarantined. They don't have wild birds landing in chicken farms. They don't have wild buffalo or any other wild ungulates running through the cow feedlots. But in the ocean, a particle can travel 10 kilometers in 6 hours. So when you have a massive number of salmon parked on a migration route, shedding 650 infectious viral particles per hour, 650 billion infectious viral particles per hour, the risk to the wild salmon becomes enormous as well. And so we don't know where this is going to go. Salmon are the bloodstream of this coast. They feed the trees that make the oxygen that we breathe. They feed the many different animal species around us that support a huge tourism industry. And they're extremely important to First Nations and to many local communities. So we don't want to see these fish risked for an industry that is 98% Norwegian-owned that is raising Atlantic salmon with European viruses right on the migration route of these wild fish. So
now, you say that the BC government isn't allowed to protect the wild salmon. What do you mean by that?
Well, the BC government and the federal government, in reading these documents in the Cohen Inquiry, there were many people who argued strongly against the import of Atlantic eggs into British Columbia. We've had 30 million eggs come in here since 1986. But they were disregarded because of the threat of trade sanctions against Canada if they did not allow this Norwegian industry to bring the eggs from its own country or other countries.
Alex, if you had your druthers, what would be done with these fish farms?
Well, just get them away from the wild fish. Now, what they want to do after that is up to them, but you have to put a boundary, just like we figured out with the birds and the bird flu. You got to put a boundary between the feedlots and the wild birds. So get them out onto land. Norwegian industry has already said they don't want to do that. So in my view, that's it, boys. Out of the water. You've had your go at it. You came in here. There were pristine waters. You have fouled these waters, and you need to go now.
Pam, when you buy fish, do you buy salmon? Do you buy a farm salmon or wild salmon?
Well, the preference is going to be wild. The preference is always going to be wild, but sometimes you can't get wild. And so the price sometimes for many people is cost prohibitive.
What's the price, by the way, Alex, of wild salmon compared to a farm salmon?
I don't actually shop for farm salmon, so I don't know. I think that, in general, wild salmon can be more expensive, but we have to think about this for a minute. You know, here we are on this planet that's becoming highly degraded by human activity, and we have a fish that comes into British Columbia on a schedule and feeds this whole ecosystem. I think it's very important to see the value of the fish. Also, I mean, it simply isn't a human right to have fresh salmon year-round. You get frozen salmon in the winter, and you get fresh salmon during the salmon seasons. Alaska still has incredibly abundant wild salmon. They're doing extremely well this year. They've hit over 1 million fish right now.
Would you eat?
They don't have salmon farms.
Would you eat fish from a fish farm?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I have taken apart so many of these fish right now. The flesh has died because they're not getting a natural diet. They have to put a food additive in there to color the flesh. It's soft. The organs are often melded together.
You're talking about the salmon, the farm salmon that we buy at Costco, you wouldn't eat for these reasons?
Absolutely not. Nope. No, absolutely not. Well, they don't even smell. The flesh doesn't even smell like a salmon. They're factory farmed. They're incredibly different. I don't know why people even think that they are a salmon.
Alex, we have to park that for just a moment. We have to take a short break for a news update when we come back. I just got to ponder what you're just saying. You're saying this farm salmon you certainly would not eat, whether it comes from Costco or Loblaws or wherever it comes from. Back with author, marine biologist Alex Morton and Pam Colleen in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Would you eat fish from a fish farm?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I have taken apart so many of these fish right now. The flesh has died because they're not getting a natural diet. They have to put a food additive in there to color the flesh. It's soft. The organs are often melded together.
You're talking about the salmon, the farm salmon that we buy at Costco, you wouldn't eat for these reasons?
Absolutely not. Nope. No, absolutely not. They don't even smell. The flesh doesn't even smell like a salmon. They're factory farmed. They're incredibly different. I don't know why people even think that they are a salmon.
Pam, just when I was working up to an appetite to eat more salmon, author Alex Morton is saying she wouldn't dream of eating farm salmon.
Mm-hmm. And listen to all the reasons in terms of the environment as well as to why we need to care about this issue.
Let's go to the phones. Gail, what do you think of what you're hearing?
Oh, hi. I'm originally from London, and I was just back and went up to Goderich, and I was amazed at how many people were catching Atlantic salmon due to the great restoration efforts to bring the salmon back to Lake Huron. So I'm wondering if you could ask Alexandra... Well,
why don't you go ahead? She's on the line. Go ahead, Gail.
Okay, hi. If people buy farmed salmon in London or anywhere in southwestern Ontario and just washing their store-bought purchases in their kitchen sink, could it make its way to Lake Huron and affect the Atlantic salmon that are returning there?
Good question, Gail. Yeah, this is a big concern because British Columbia never recognized this virus was here and we haven't heard anything about it. There's been no work on it, but nearly 100% of the farm salmon that I'm testing in Loblaws markets and Superstore are infected with this virus. And we are now testing fish in Ottawa to find out if the virus is there. And it can definitely wash down into the watersheds. Depending on what kind of sewage treatment you have, it could be affecting the fish that you're trying to restore. I also wanted to mention, you know, these farm salmon are fed chicken feathers, pig blood, a very unnatural diet. And so vegetarians or people that restrict pork from their diet might want to know this. It's not a normal fish diet that these fish are eating.
That's right. And they get genetically engineered canola as well. And I think it's either genetically engineered corn or soy.
Yeah, there's a lot of that product in there as well.
What do salmon normally eat, wild salmon, Alex?
Well, the smaller species eat plankton, and the larger species eat other fish like herring.
Gail, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Gary. Gary, your thoughts. Are you having salmon for lunch, by the way?
Not for lunch, but I certainly love it. But maybe I should be cooking it like my mother used to cook any type of fish. She used to boil it and put a nice white sauce on it. So my question for the biologist is, how should I be preparing this fish so that I kill all the viruses?
Well, I would eat just wild fish. There's a big commercial fishery going on right now in British Columbia, in Port Alberni, where there's no salmon farms, and it's a good run. And then also Alaska has quite a few wild fish coming on the market right now.
Do you have this information on your website, by the way, as to where the stocks are healthy, where you can get healthy wild salmon?
No, we haven't really taken this from a market's point of view, a consumer's point of view, but there's a very active discussion group at the Salmon Are Sacred Facebook page, and there's also a website, salmonaresacred.org, where a lot of this information is coming
okay.
out.
Okay, the question is, if I buy the fish from these fish farms, what is the best way to cook it so that you kill the viruses? That's the question.
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know
what it would take to heat the fish up enough to kill the virus. Probably if you cook it thoroughly through, you can kill the virus.
That should be found out, because the first thing that the Loblaws or any of these places are going to say is there is a way to cook it.
Well, Gary, I think what Alex is probably saying is go with wild salmon.
Well, yeah, if you can get it, you can. Like we mentioned before, you cannot always find it.
When you do get it, Gary, how does the price compare?
Well, it's very expensive.
Twice the price?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't do the shopping, but I know it's awfully expensive.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Expensive enough that my wife won't buy it at times.
Gary, while I still have you on the line, a quick question for Alex. I mean, it begs the question. This virus, has there been any study done on the impact of this virus, first on humans, but also on other elements of the environment?
Good question.
No, I haven't seen any research on the impact of these viruses on humans. The impact on the environment, well, for example, when ISA virus went to Chile, it caused $2 billion worth of damage because it killed off so much of the farm salmon industry, but they didn't have wild salmon down there. So the cost and the impact of moving viruses from one ocean to another and exposing populations that have never dealt with the virus, these are risks that are enormous.
Mm-hmm.
The wild salmon really are the most sustainable. They feed this environment. They continue to come home to these rivers if we just give them what they need. Places like Alaska, which don't have salmon farms, still have very abundant runs of wild salmon. Everywhere in the world that the salmon farms are put in, wild salmon tip into exceptional decline. I know that there's been other impacts, acidic water and deforestation and overfishing, but in British Columbia, we had an excellent populations of wild salmon until this happened.
Alex, if you just hold that thought, Gary wants to jump in. Go ahead, Gary.
Oh, Andy, no, this is Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mike.
No, no problem. You were talking to Gary a second ago.
That's right. I'm one behind.
No, okay.
I got to eat more salmon. It's good brain food.
I'm sitting up here in Bayfield watching the guys at the end of the pier trying to catch fish, so it made me want to call. But I have a question for your guest about frozen fish in the local supermarkets. And you said yourself you go in from time to time and buy salmon. But go through the frozen fish section of any supermarket, and if you can find any frozen fish product that's not from China, Vietnam, Indonesia, or anywhere else in the Far East, take it home and have it mounted, because there's virtually nothing in there from the North American coastlines in the frozen fish sections of any supermarket, and I'm talking about the big supermarkets. Now, I've recently read some stories about the frozen importing restrictions, frozen fish import restrictions in the United States. They virtually don't allow anything in there from the Far East because the Chinese, as far as our food production goes, they'll feed melamine to baby food to enhance the protein content.
I wouldn't eat anything from China.
What's that?
I wouldn't eat anything from China.
Well, you won't eat fish that's frozen then either, because 90% of it comes from China. Take a look at the labels. It's in the smallest print at the very bottom of the frozen package. And it looks like a great big BC coho salmon where you can buy the whole fish. And in the very bottom somewhere, it'll say product of China, Indonesia, Vietnam, you name it. There's nothing in there from North America. So anyways, to get to your guest, what does she have any concerns about that?
Absolutely. And, the consumers do drive this.
Mike, I tell you what, we'll let you go, Mike. We got a buzz on the line, and then Alex will answer the question. Okay, Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, as the consumers drive this. So, you know, people need to just stop buying these things from China. I think that what happens is that the fish are often caught on this coast and sent to China for processing. I don't understand why, with viable fisheries in British Columbia and also Alaska, why they would do that. So, I mean, the customer really has to take hold of things here, and that's why we have the petition on change.org. The businesses will change if the customer demands it. Go to a fish store and ask for the wild fish and say, you're just not going to buy these other products. That's really the only answer.
Terrific. Okay, let's go to Wayne. Wayne, you have a question.
Hey, how you doing, Andy?
Good.
The thing is, this is not new news. I mean, I'm a fisherman. I do bass fishing personally, but it's not new news with this farm fish. When it came out, I don't know how long it's been out, but I mean, there was tons of articles about the stuff floating to the bottom, and you know, basically they're in their own waste and whatnot. What people have to realize, you have to buy fresh fish. I mean, I get up Sunday mornings. I drive down to Port Stanley, down to Jackson. I think it's Jackson's Fish Market down there, and I buy fresh fish right off the boat. You walk into these fish markets that are at Loblaws and Costco, and as soon as you walk in the store, you can smell the fish. You should not be able to smell fish. You should be able to take a fillet of fish, put it up to your nose, and not even smell it if it's fresh.
Hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I thought fish smelled fishy.
Fish does not stink when it's fresh.
Yeah.
This stuff, when you walk into supermarkets, and the first thing you get when you walk into one of these Loblaws stores, it's all you smell is fish. You shouldn't smell that.
Wow. Yeah. Was that your impression, Pam? I always thought fish were supposed to smell like fish.
No, I've heard that. I've heard that. And I think, Alex, you have a PowerPoint presentation online that I watched, and you showed just how sick the innards of these fish are. And I remember one of your slides showed, I think, the brains of a fish, and somebody thought that the fish had been bludgeoned, and the fish hadn't been bludgeoned. It was just diseased.
That's right. The brain tumors behind the eyeballs is a symptom of the salmon leukemia virus. The hearts of the fish with the piscine reovirus are like pudding. They just fall right out. Anytime you put an animal in a very unnatural situation like these feedlots, you run into problems.
Wayne, was there anything else?
No, that's it.
Terrific. Appreciate it. Harold, go ahead.
Yes, a couple of years ago, I heard a thing on Marketplace was talking about where our fish come, like Captain Highliner fish.
I saw that episode.
British Columbia.
Yeah, it was with the malachite green.
Yes, no, but this was something to do with where do the fish come from in the East Coast, like where does Captain Highliner get their fish? the truckers would never say until one trucker said, well, we truck from British Columbia. If they're trucking this disease to the East Coast, the same disease is going to happen out in the East Coast to the fish. I mean, yes. The government should be stamping down on this before all the fish are dead.
Thanks, Harold. I appreciate it. Your comment, Alex.
Very good point, and that's exactly my point. When they try to quarantine these viruses and then they start shipping the product all over the place, they're spreading it. I mean, it's a serious situation. If we want wild fish, you got to follow the natural laws. You just can't let this happen.
Okay, we have to take a short break. We'll be back with our final segment with author Alex Morton. What are you having for lunch, Pam?
not farm salmon, that's for sure.
Back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
There's just no scientific evidence that the sea lice are causing the death of wild salmon.
That is ridiculous. Sea lice wiped out the salmon stock in Norway. They wiped out the stock in Scotland.
All we're saying is let's wait and do the research before.
How much longer can we wait?
This is a vendetta against the farmed fish.
There's no such thing. We have no issue with farmed fish so long as they can raise their stock in an environmentally sustainable manner and not host millions of sea lice. Closed containment systems have been shown to work.
Okay, gentlemen, I've heard your arguments. I have your briefs. I'll review the matter.
Just explain that clip, if you would.
Well, it's a fantastic episode of Boston Legal. And it's a scene where Denny Crane, who we know is William Shatner, and James Spader, who in the show is called, his name is Alan Shore, and they are fishing in Canada and discover this story about the disappearance of the wild fish and the problems with fish farming. And so they decide to go in court in Canada and defend the wild fish. So it's a fantastic clip, and it goes on to
I'm sure the BC government didn't appreciate it at all.
No, they did not.
Girish, your comment on all of this.
You may have already done it, but please tell me, where can I get wild Pacific salmon in London, and how do I recognize it? I do not trust the labeling by the stores or the fisheries.
Well, as Costco is part of the problem per se, they can also be part of the solution. They do sell wild salmon. So I think if we get the big box stores involved, and they can be more proactive, they can actually be a part of the solution.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Girish. I appreciate it. Okay, Chris, very quickly. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, I buy all my wild fish from Costco. Whether it's frozen or periodically comes in fresh, and it says wild caught. We only buy wild fish. What does this mean? Nothing from the Atlantic, all from the Pacific.
Alex?
Well, good for you. I mean, that is supporting the wild fisheries here. Unless there is support for them in the market, the Canadian government is just going to write them off. I mean, they virtually have already. It's pretty discouraging. People need to take responsibility with what they buy, and people are doing that. I mean, the organic marketing is enormous. People have chosen organic because they don't trust the chemicals in their food. It's the same thing with this farm salmon situation. When you buy farm salmon, you are threatening the ecosystem of the Eastern Pacific, and you are also transporting these viruses across the continent and into the United States.
We have just a moment left. Chris, I want to ask you, what's your takeaway from the discussion that you've been hearing?
Well, I came in kind of late, but then I was hearing some disturbing things. One fellow said that you walk into a store and it smells like fish. I don't never smell that.
Hmm. Now, he's a fisherman, though, so maybe he's got a sensitive snout.
Chris, we have to leave it there. Alex, give our audience a takeaway. Just wrap this up and put a little bow on it. What should people carry as a takeaway from our discussion this morning?
Buy wild fish. Go to change.org and find our Costco and Safeway Loblaws. We don't want to eat salmon flu or heart virus petition. Take responsibility for this, because this situation isn't going to change until the people make the stores do this change.
And your website is
salmonoursacred.org. And we're also on Facebook at Salmon Our Sacred, three different words, Salmon Our Sacred. There's a discussion group of over 3,000 people there tracking this around the world.
Now, you have a hotline, though. You have a salmon testing hotline where people can actually send in lab results.
Yes, that's correct. You'll have to go to the Facebook page. I don't have that on my on the tip of my tongue right here.
Let me ask you this, Alex. If all the fish farms were, if you were to just run them out of town, run them out of business, would there be enough wild salmon to supply the market?
Look, fish farms are being fed wild fish from Chile, and so they're running into a problem with the food that they have. There may not be enough wild salmon to feed this entire planet. That the species might not be able to handle that, but there are a great many of them, and if we work with them, there'll be more. And so, you know, we're gonna eat ourselves out of a fish one way or the other. The farm salmon are eating fish from Chile. That they're running out of food there. Or you can work with the wild fish, which feed the entire environment around them.
What's the ideal combination then? We harvest the wild fish, but we have farm fish, which are run with tighter regulations.
Put the aquaculture on land. Start using the waste of these fish to grow vegetable crops. Do something much smarter than taking fish from Chile, throwing them into the water to feed Norwegian fish, polluting the Pacific, and moving these viruses all over the place. If you did aquaculture on land using species that eat vegetable matter and you take the waste of these fish and you grow crops, then you have something really sustainable that is actually making food. But until the people stand up and make British Columbia and Canada do this, they are just going to run our wild fisheries into the ground. I mean, they destroyed the cod on the East Coast, and they're doing exactly the same thing here by not listening to their own scientists and independent scientists. They are only responding to trade laws, and this is a very dangerous situation for people on Earth.
Alex, it's been a very educational hour, and we thank you so much for joining us this morning. All the best with your battle.
Thanks so much, you guys.
Terrific.
Thanks, Alex.
Pam, you have a busy weekend ahead.
I have a book signing at Chapters South on Wellington, so 1 to 5 p.m. Saturday, Chapters South.
Your chance to meet Pam Killeen. She does not have horns. She is very gracious, lovely person, and you will learn more than you could possibly handle. Thank you so much, Pam. That was awesome.
Thanks, Andy.
And I think we'll have some wild salmon for lunch. I think that would be great. 11 o'clock news just around the corner. When we come back, I want to talk about...